Hey everyone. All right, let's get started here. Show the screen up. And here we go. We're going to talk about sleep tonight. Why? Because, in my opinion, this is a great time of the year to focus in on your sleep. So I know that that goes a little bit against the grain. And I know last week we talked a little bit about kind of, you know, preparing yourself for the next 5 weeks. And so I want to share you know, one of the main focuses for me during this time of year, December, is sleeping. And so I really make a focus to get to bed earlier. You know what I mean? And again, I'm going to share with you some of the techniques I use so that I can fall asleep well and all the rest of it. But again, I'm a big fan. If you think about it, right, naturally, it's the darkest time of year. And so I always think, like, you know, nature is really giving you the message to slow down, right? And one of the easiest ways to kind of slow down is by sleeping more. And so we'll kind of go through a few different ways to do that. So I want to share a quote. I love this one. Sleep is that golden chain that ties health and our bodies together. And it's so true, you know? And so again, I know a few months ago, I did a lesson on the benefits of sleep that I love that book, you know, Why We Sleep. But tonight we're just going to talk about, you know, basically how to improve your sleeping. And so we start off again with kind of the motivation of it, and really just everything gets better with the right amount of sleep. I almost look at it like it's almost like you give yourself a superpower. and I say that not to be to exaggerate things, but really, I think we live in a culture where being sleep deprived is the norm. And when you actually, like, when I get myself to bed early, and again, I'm not going to share what time that is because who cares what I do, but when I get a solid eight and a half hours of sleep in my bed. Again, we refer to that as a sleep opportunity because you may not sleep the entire time, but as long as you're giving yourself an eight and a half, 9 hour sleep opportunity, and nine might be too much for you. So again, you make it for what right works for you. But yeah, it's amazing. You know what I mean? Like it really, it changes everything. And so everything literally gets better with sleep. It is a skill. Again, I know, you know, for me, I was not a good sleeper. I'm a toss and turn, had trouble falling asleep. However, it is something that I got good at. And how did I get good at it? Again, we're talking about some of the details here that you can use as well. But, you know, some of it's meditation, being able to slow my mind down, relaxation, being able to calm my body down, and a few other things. Again, stopping to eat before I went to bed. So, again, sleep is a skill. And so I want you to think of it that way, not as something that, you know, you either are or you aren't, because that's not true. You can practice skills that'll help you get better at sleeping. And again, this is a key part, right? If you can't sleep, relax, because sometimes, you know, when we're lying in bed, it's 3 a.m. or we wake up, a lot of times what ends up happening is we get really mad, you know, like we start thinking about tomorrow and how tired we're going to be. And we start doing the math in our head and we literally start releasing adrenaline into our body, which again, kind of wakes you up. So if you wake up, just relax, you know, intentionally, consciously, relax your body, connect to your breathing. And we'll go through a few ways to do this specifically in a moment, but you know, just the overview is relax at least. You can't force yourself to sleep. It's one of these things where you can kind of bring yourself right to the door and then you just have to let it happen, right? So basically when it comes to sleeping, you really, it's about kind of setting the stage and then you just let it happen, right? So it's almost like planting a garden, you know what I mean? Like you do all the right stuff and then you just let the plant grow. And that's kind of how it is with sleep. And I just mentioned this because sometimes we want to force ourselves to sleep. And again, the interesting thing about sleep is if we do it wrong, right? Again, if we start getting mad, if we try and force ourselves to do it, if we start thinking about tomorrow and getting upset, we're literally preventing it. You know, again, because we can, again, it's not just adrenaline, but we literally create a biochemistry that's waking us up. And so we want to understand how to do it. And we got to kind of work with it and just kind of set the stage and let it happen. You know, and again, you just bring yourself right to the edge of sleep. And that was another thing that helped me is hypnosis. You know, hypno really, it means sleep in Greek. And so hypnosis really is the process of bringing someone right to the edge of sleep, but then them not going to sleep. And when you get into that state, it's a hypnagogic state. And that's when your unconscious mind and your imagery gets really, really vivid. And again, when you guide it in a certain way, it can have a very big impact on you. So again, when you get good at Self-hypnosis, if you practice that, or even meditation to a certain degree, that is great practice for sleeping. Because again, that is the setting of the stage. You're calming your mind, your body down, and then you're just letting it happen, right? So let's talk about just a couple benefits of good sleep. You know, you can't hear this enough because we don't hear this enough in our culture. So again, it improves your mood, right? So that's really, really key, especially this time of year. So again, that's why I want to talk about this now, because for a lot of people, this month here, you know, these next 4 weeks are really stressful, right? Again, you having more responsibilities, there's more stuff you have to do. You know, again, all sorts, sometimes it's emotional, you know, for people for different reasons. So again, we want to use the sleep because it is literally one of the easiest ways to improve your mood. And, you know, even if you, you know, some clients I have, there's emotional stuff going on. The holidays aren't really that happy for them, to be honest. And, again, we can't change that, you know, necessarily what's gone on in the past during the holiday season or what's kind of associated with it. However, you are a different person depending on how much sleep you get, right? So you get better quality sleep, you get the right amount of it. It just helps you keep kind of an even balanced, you know, feeling for everything. Okay. It helps you make better decisions, right? So again, lack of sleep dulls activity in the frontal lobe, our prefrontal cortex. And so again, sleeping directly impacts your executive functioning, your ability to make good decisions. Right. So, again, and this factors in, it's a holistic approach here, right? Because it's not like we can just do one thing. You know, we can't just make our moods better and everything's great. We can't just make better decisions and we're in a crappy mood, right? That doesn't work either. So it's like, we want to kind of hit everything, you know, that we can to lift up the whole. And so that's what sleep does really, because it affects so much of our daily functioning, very, very subtle things that we don't really even think about. So again, it helps us make better decisions and it helps us think more efficiently. And so if it is a busier time of year for you, you really want that efficiency, right? You don't want to be, you know, kind of redoubling your steps and having to do things multiple times. And, you know, you went to a store and you forgot to get this other thing and now you got to go back again. You see what I mean? So we want to be efficient. And so again, sleeping is just one of the easiest ways to do this. So that's why I want you to really kind of double down on it in December. It's a great strategy. And it has the extra benefit of when January comes, you're prepared for it. Because a lot of people really just kind of burn the candle at both ends in December. And by the time January comes around, they're just wiped out. Okay. And so again, sleep is in my opinion, probably, you know, again, water is really key. But I think sleep during this season is probably one of the most important habits to focus in on. Okay. And it reduces snacking. Right, a study found tired people snacked more and chose fattier foods. The reason is when we're asleep, when we're tired, we can get the right amount of sleep. We're looking for more energy, and so our body knows that the fastest way to get more energy into our body is to eat, you know, sugary, processed, you know, flour. You know what I mean? All these foods that very quickly spike our blood sugar and give us a boost of energy in the moment. And there's a crash that follows, but we're not thinking about that. We just want the instant kind of gratification of it. So again, now we put all these things together, right? It will actually, let me just share one more here with you. So again, it also manages your hunger hormones. Your sleeping literally is going to impact your hormone levels. And some of the key ones we're thinking about, ghrelin, right? Again, which is the hormone that's released to tell your brain, you know, we've had enough. Leptin, which cues your brain, or I'm sorry, ghrelin, which signals your brain to eat, decreases, right? So the ghrelin, it gets released and says, okay, it's time to eat. And so that lowers when you get in the proper amount of sleep. And the leptin is the hormone that's telling your brain, okay, we've had enough. And so basically what happens is when we're not getting enough sleep, we become almost leptin resistant. And so we can have this leptin in our body telling us to stop eating, we've had enough, but our brain doesn't hear it. Is kind of what it feels like. And then again, the ghrelin starts to release even more, you know, of it. So again, when we put all these together here, this is one of the simplest ways, and again, even beyond the holidays, this is one of the simplest ways to really impact your weight, right? Because let's face it, let's look at it both ways, right? Say you don't get much sleep, you're in a bad mood, right? You're not really focused. You're feeling a little fuzzy in the brain. You have cravings for crappy food and your hormones are, you know, telling you that you're hungry when you're not, and that you know, you're still hungry when you've had enough to eat. I mean, that is literally a recipe for gaining weight, right? So, the complete opposite happens when you get the proper amount of sleep. And, I did put it in here. And insulin sensitivity as well, drops, you know, when you get the proper amount of sleep. And so when you don't get the right amount of sleep, literally you become more insulin resistant. Okay. And so again, it's kind of like, and these are just some of the things. There's even more than that about sleep, but I don't want to, you know, be going over it all, you know, the whole time. So really it's just one of the simplest ways to keep ourselves on track and to truly, again, if the goal for the next 4 weeks is to have a nice, relaxing, calm, enjoyable holiday, then again, sleep's got to be one of the fundamental things you're doing. Okay. And cortisol goes down, right? So those are the big four. Okay. Next. There we go. So let's talk about how, again, we refer to it as sleep hygiene, right? Just like you have tooth hygiene and you have a routine to handle that. We want to have sleep hygiene. And really, the thing I like about hygiene, I'm not sure what the exact definition is, but I think it implies to me anyways, a kind of habitual sort of thing to it. And we always want that. We really want to habitualize as much as we can, because the more we make things a habit, the less we have to think about it. And that becomes especially important. You know, again, you want to be working on this all year round. So by the time, you know, Christmas season comes around, holiday season, you know, it's just kind of a norm to get the right amount of sleep. Because we don't want to be thinking about everything. You know what I mean? So again, we want to make this a routine. But 7 to 9 hours of sleep a night. And again, I want to be clear, that's ideal to get that amount of sleep. But I want to introduce the word sleep opportunity, right? Because sometimes you can't control if you're going to actually be asleep or not. But you can control how much you're lying in bed. Okay, so we're shooting for 7 to 9 hours. Dark room, right? I say no clock. If you have a clock, I have a clock, but I turn it so I can't see it. I have to kind of sit up to see it. So the last thing in the world you want, though, is that big, you know, bright clock right next to your head. And you know, again, looking over at it every, if you're not a good sleeper, if you have a crappy night of sleep, you don't be looking over at that clock every, you know, 5 minutes, every couple hours, whatever, you know, it gets in your head and it's just one more thing that is going to pull you out of sleep. It's not supporting you. And again, in a dark room, that's just physiological, right? Again, we used to sleep outside and at night it's dark. And so again, you know, if you have lights on and all the rest of it, I would absolutely experiment with turning them off and seeing if it helps your sleep. Okay. Quiet, you know, obviously, the more noises, again, it's a very primitive part of our brain when we hear noises. You know, it just pulls us out of a deep sleep, right? Because we want to be, you know, aware, right? We don't want to get hurt or attacked. And our brain still thinks that way. Comfortable sheets in bed, right? Again, this sounds kind of obvious, but I think, I don't know if I mentioned this before, but the sheet thing, one thing I've found, it's called micro fleece, I believe. And these sheets were a real game changer for me. I mean, these are, to me anyways, they're the most comfortable sheets I've ever had. And it's like every time I get into bed, every single time I get into bed, I just love just the way they feel. And so I love that. And then again, you know, if you're going to invest in something in life, a bed is a great investment because you know what I mean? As we just went through the benefits of it, it's just, it's a game changer. And so I could tell you this, oh my goodness. Last week I went, stayed at a friend's house and slept on a pullout couch, of low quality mattress and then pull out couch. And, oh my God, it was hard. And so, you know, again, you know what I mean? Like we all got our financial situations, but if you can, invest in a bed, the one I use, and again, everyone's different, but I'd never heard of this and it's been a real, I probably have for the last like 8 years. It's a foam. It's a rubber bed. And, but it feels kind of like a Posturepedic, Tempur-Pedic, whatever those things are called. So it's kind of like memory stuff, but it's foam. You know what I mean? Or it's latex rubber. And so whatever. So I like that. It took a little bit of getting used to too. So I just want to mention that when you change some of these things, by the way, even if you change them for the better, like if you used to sleep with a light on and to turn it off and in the first couple nights, you sleep crappy and you're like, geez, I thought Jim said it was going to be good. But you got to give yourself a little bit of time to get used to it. You know, my bed, it took me a couple of weeks to get used to it because it was very different than the spring mattress that I'd slept on. So I just want to mention that when you change any of your routine up, I never expect that instantly it's just going to be better. You know what I mean? I always give myself a little bit of time just to acclimate to the newness of whatever it is. That did not happen with those sheets, though, those micro fleece sheets. Oh my goodness. They were great. Comfortable temperature. And I should have written this, that even you want to err on the side of cooler. Okay. Because basically one of the things that's to trigger your body to fall asleep is your body drops a couple degrees in temperature, and that helps trigger the sleep. And so this is why you might notice, if you ever slept in a hot room, and this was me last week, actually, again, at my friend's house, horrible mattress, and it was 1,000 degrees in there. Anyways, that's a funny story, but so it was so hot in there, and then that mattress. But so if you've ever had trouble sleeping when it's really hot, that's normal, because your body needs to drop a couple temperatures to really fall into a deep sleep. All right. So temperature is very, very important. Pre-sleep ritual, right? So I'd suggest this, that there's no screens, you know, 30 minutes before bed is ideal, you know, at least, because again, screens give off blue light, which affects your brain and the chemicals it releases. And so if you can eliminate the blue light, you know, 30 minutes before, a lot of times you'll find that it's easier to fall asleep because your body's kind of prepped for it. Master ritual, right? We've talked about this, and it's so, so helpful. I can tell you almost without question, clients I work with, when they implement it, even if it's just, again, it only has to be a few minutes. I'm telling you, just the intention of it, you know what I mean? Like if just sitting there for even a minute and quieting your mind down, quieting your body down, can have a profound impact on how you fall asleep. You know, so again, master ritual, ideally you want to have, you know, a moment to just kind of relax your body, do some deep breathing, you know, stretch it out a little bit, you know, sun salutation at a minimum. And then to, you know, just sit there for a moment and quiet your mind, just kind of connect and let go of the day. I think you'll be surprised at what an effect it can have on your sleep, how quickly you fall asleep and how deeply you sleep through the evening. And then finally, not finally, but there's one more, a shower or a bath. That's helpful as well. It relaxes you. You know what I mean? So it kind of calms you down, relaxes you, and it has the extra benefit. Again, we just talked about the temperature of your body lowering. Well, when you take a shower or a bath in hot water, it pulls all the blood out to your extremities, out to your skin. And so then when you get out of the shower, your body cools down quicker. And so again, that's one of the extra reasons it kind of helps to relax, but it also helps cool your body down once you get out of it. And so a lot of times that's kind of a double whammy of supporting you falling asleep. And then again, for some people, you know, reading, you know, helps them fall asleep. So again, there's many more things you could implement here. What I want you to think about, more important than if these things don't resonate with you, that's fine. But find something, because what you're doing is you're really creating an association, you know what I mean, to sleeping well. And so if you focus on this, you know, if you really make it a focus for a little while, you can come up with a ritual that works for you. And what ends up happening is the ritual triggers your body and your mind that it's time for sleep. And so again, if you do this intentionally, where you kind of calm yourself down, relax yourself, I fall asleep, and I did not do this growing up. It would take me 2 hours to fall asleep. I would toss and turn. I wasn't a good sleeper. I can now, again, the program Sleep at Will, I can literally sleep at will. I get in bed. I do the exact same thing every time. Physically, mentally, and emotionally, and I just go to sleep. Okay. Does it always work? It works 99% of the time. And I'm coming from someone who did not sleep well. So again, you want to create a routine and stick to it. Okay. Because once you figure it out, once you get one that you like and it works, you just do the same thing every time. It's kind of like when you brush your teeth. You don't realize this, but you brush your teeth the same way every time. When you take a shower, you do the same process. And so you want the sleep to be the exact same thing. Okay. I want to share with you just real quick, a hypnotic power nap. This is something I really started relying on years ago. I think I've mentioned this story, but my son, he's almost 7 now. So he wasn't a good sleeper. So I was exhausted. You know, I got 2 years into his life. I was a wreck. I was in tough shape. I was very, very tired. And, I remember there was literally like a day I was like, I've got to get my sleep back. I got to catch up on my energy. And so
I began really, really focusing on how to do that. And so I got went to bed earlier. But this was another thing I did is I took these hypnotic, I call them hypnotic power naps, and I continue to do them to this day, although I don't need to do as many of them. But there was literally a point where I was doing 2 to 3 of these a day because I really just wanted to kind of streamline my sleep so I could recover myself. And so this is a simple way to do it. You set a timer for no more than 15 minutes. I think between 12 and 15 minutes is kind of ideal. You know what I mean? Because you can, you're going to do this and you're going to fall asleep quicker as you practice this. And what you want to do is you want to relax your body. that didn't work there, but use the progressive relaxation. Okay. So basically you start at your toes, relax your toes, feet, calves, knees, thighs, waist, you know, chest, shoulder, just up your body. Then you go down the back of your body, relax it. Feel yourself becoming heavier. Feel yourself letting go of any tension, right? So if there's any tension in your stomach, just imagine it just falling away. And just imagine yourself sinking into whatever you're doing. I usually take hypnotic power naps. I got a hypnotic chair. And it's a chair I used to have in my hypnosis office. And so I sit in there, and I've been doing self-hypnosis in that chair for, geez, almost 15 years now. So it's association, right? So much is association, but you could do this in bed. You could do this on, so you could do it anywhere. You know, again, you want to be comfortable. But you want to feel yourself letting go and feel yourself sinking into it. Feel that heaviness. Okay. That's a big part of it. You want to slow and then deepen your breath. Okay. Again, your breathing is a big indicator, as you shift towards sleeping. So the exhales happen suddenly. What I mean by that is if you ever get the opportunity to listen to someone, you know, if you have a partner and you sleep with them, if you ever get the chance to listen to them when they're sleeping, what you will hear is something like this. And so the exhales happen almost more forcefully, just like, right? So that is what a sleeping breathing pattern sounds like. And you can literally, you can pretend to do that. Like you can do it and you'll feel yourself going towards sleep. Again, if you're doing all these other things as well and you want to go to sleep, again, you can't go into it saying, oh, this isn't working. You know what I mean? You have to do all of these things together. But if you do that exhale that way, and again, you exhale through the nose, typically, you know, some people breathe through their mouth. But if you can do it through your nose, it's even better because you have more control. So again, you feel yourself letting go and sinking. You slow and deepen your breath, become a little fuller. Then you intentionally let the exhales happen suddenly. And then you relax some more. Again, you kind of go through your body again. If you do the whole body, that's fine. If you just do kind of the stomach, chest, shoulders, face, that's fine as well. Then you let go and sink some more. Right, and slow and deep in your breathing. You notice a pattern here. And you keep repeating that until all of a sudden your alarm goes off and you realize you'd fallen asleep somewhere along the way. Okay. And so this works really well. The more you practice it, the better you get at it. Okay. But this is a really good thing to practice on. And so if you have the opportunity, because I'll tell you what this helps me with. And again, I'm fortunate because, you know, again, I work for myself. And so if I don't have anything, you know, any calls or anything, and I can take a moment, I'm feeling tired, I will do this. I'll just take a nap because I know in 15 minutes I'll wake up and I feel much different. And so it's 15 minutes. You don't want to take a 30-minute, 45-minute nap, okay? Because you'll wake up groggier because you're interrupting in a different sleep cycle. But 15 minutes, and I forget the ideal. I don't know if this is the ideal one, but NASA did a thing, their ideal nap time. And I'm forgetting now. It might have been 21 minutes, okay? So again, you know, you experiment with it. You know, 15 minutes for me is kind of ideal. I like it. But you find what works for you. But if you get good at this, it's like having a magic supplement, because anytime you feel tired and you have the opportunity to be able to take a nap, you can do this. Okay. And so again, if you're working during the day and you can't do this during the day, keep it in mind for the weekend. Okay. Because it's a great way just to get a little extra sleep on the weekend. All right. And it works really well. And so, okay, falling asleep. So you're lying in bed. What we want to do, again, ideally you've done your ritual before this. Ideally you've kind of done a sun salutation, relaxed your body, done a little bit of breathing, let your mind relax. And now you're lying in bed and you want to let go of your thoughts. And one of the ways to do that is I like to imagine my thoughts have gravity. and I'm letting go of them. And if I don't let go of them, right, because again, if my thoughts have gravity, then they'll just fall away. And so if I'm still clinking on thoughts and going around my head, I like to imagine it's because I haven't let them go. And so again, this is where meditation will help you, right? So again, we talk about those 8 habits. There's a reason why they all, again, it's holistic. They all help each other, and you get better at all of them. So if you meditate, I mean, that's what it is, right? You have thoughts, you recognize you're having a thought and you let it go. And so now all of a sudden you're going to sleep and you have some thought about the day that happened and you're having trouble letting it go. Again, the meditation is that skill, right? But even if you're not meditating, you can imagine the thought has gravity and it's just falling away. And so you just kind of imagine these thoughts just falling away, you know, falling away from you. And again, you can literally hear them moving away if you want to, right? Feel them falling away. And so you're lying there with your body, but the thoughts are going through the bed, down through the floor, onto the earth. Your breathing and your physical relaxation will lead you to sleep. Okay. And so this is so important because a lot of times this is especially the 2 or 3 in the morning thing. And if all of a sudden you look at the clock and you go, okay, I got 6 hours. Oh my God, I'm gonna be so tired tomorrow. I got this I got to do. Oh my God, why don't I go to sleep? And what's happening? Your stomach's getting tight. Your breathing's getting shallow. Your mind's starting to race. You're starting to release adrenaline into your body, right? So that's not what we're going to do. That's going to wake us up more. And then again, we're going to realize all our worst, you know, things that we don't want to happen. So again, we want to relax our bodies, relax our breathing, let it become a bit deeper. Focus on that exhale happening suddenly. Feel yourself sinking into bed, right? Just feel yourself becoming heavier and heavier and heavier. And you just keep cycling through this. You cycle through releasing the physical tension, the mental tension, emotional tension, just letting it go. And you're much more likely to fall asleep. And so again, we do this relaxation and that's cool. If you want to take it a step further, you could imagine, you know, a nice place. You remember that time you're sitting on the beach, you could hear the birds. And so we've done this stuff. Again, you're filling up your sensory, your internal senses with a pleasant memory, you know, as opposed to us thinking about tomorrow and we're exhausted and having to go through the day. That's filling our senses up with a negative, you know, idea that stresses us out. We want to do the opposite. And so it's a great opportunity to relax your body and then think about things in your life where you were relaxed. And it was that time you slept in late, you know, you had a day off and you slept in late in the bed and it felt so comfortable. Maybe you're at the beach. Maybe you're sitting by a lake. You know, maybe you're just going for a walk in the woods and it was relaxing. So any relaxing memories you have, and you can build them up so that if you're lying there and you're feeling tense, instead of trying to just forget about and just drop them, you can literally put your mental energy into thinking about something that was pleasant and relaxing. And the more deeply you go into that memory, the more details you remember, the more you're going to find yourself accessing that state of calm and relaxation. And next thing you know, you've fallen asleep. Okay. Now, if you're not falling asleep, this happens sometimes. This happens to me. I feel like I'm an expert at sleeping. Sometimes it's just not happening. And so what I like to do, again, relax your body, feel yourself sinking, right? You're hearing that a lot, but again, it's something you can do. Connect to your breathing, right? I'm telling you, so often we're lying in bed and we're getting mad about things or we're not sleeping, we get frustrated, our stomach gets tight and we stop breathing. And that pretty much stops the sleep from happening, okay? So you want to connect to your breathing. Be grateful for the time. Right. So that's another one. I like doing this. Right. So again, you're lying in your comfortable, snuggly bed at 3 in the morning and you're all mad, but it's like all day long, you just want to be in your bed. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, yeah, it's frustrating you're not sleeping, but would you rather be in the middle of a crappy day of work? No. So it's like, think about how lucky you are to have that bed. You know what I mean? And it's comfortable and it's nice and everything else. So let's just enjoy that time and start with gratitude. Okay. Now, what are we doing? We're putting our mental, physical, mental, and emotional energy into how we want to feel. Okay. So again, we have so much energy. We can either put it into how mad we're going to be about tomorrow, or we can put it into how we're grateful. Oh, this beats work. Oh, I have nothing I have to do. I just get to lay here and enjoy myself. You see what I mean? Are we BSing ourselves a little bit? I mean, not really. Not when I say it this way, it doesn't feel like it, but we're intentionally shifting our focus onto what's going to support us and is most likely to give us the result we want. And we can use it to rest and replenish. Okay. So what I mean by that is that ideally we want to fall asleep. That's the highest level of rest and replenishment. That's awesome. But the next highest level is just to sit there and just relax. You know what I mean? We can relax our bodies. No one wants anything from us. It's our time. And you can use it to program yourself. Okay. So if your mind, you know, if all of a sudden you're just like, boop, you know what I mean? You're just awake. You can lie there and you can enjoy the relaxation. You want to fall asleep. You can imagine having a great day tomorrow. You can imagine having a great day you've had in the past, right? So again, program yourself. You can just think about things you'd like to think about. You can elicit feelings, right? You can fantasize about whatever it is you want to fantasize about. Eliciting feelings, again, you want to feel, again, I wouldn't go towards fiery, even good things. I want to feel confident. I want to feel, you know, ambitious and I want to take on the world. I'd avoid those things, but you could elicit relaxation, calm, gratitude, a sense of peace, things like that. You know what I mean? One other thing I'm going to add here, and I don't think I put it in here, is one thing I kind of stumbled upon and this is probably about a year, year and a half ago, I just kind of stumbled upon this. If I just wake up, and we all have these nights, right? Sometimes it's like 3 a.m, it's like boop, and you just feel like you're awake and you're awake. And so, you know, you could have adrenaline in your body or whatever happens. What has worked for me, and I'm going to say, is 100% of the time. And so I've done this probably, I don't know, 20, 30 times in the last year and a half, 2 years. It's 2, 3 a.m, somewhere around there. I'm just like, boop, I'm up. And I feel like I'm up. What I will do is I will get out of bed and I will go meditate. And I've meditated for 10 minutes. I've meditated for an hour. It has not mattered, because what happens, I don't know, but something, it's like a reset button for me. And a few of my clients have tried it. That has worked for them as well. So that's just one more alternative, that you can get up and meditate for a few minutes. And, you know, then, I think if you get back into bed, it's almost like you've been reset. It's weird. And so I don't know exactly what's happening there. I don't know all the details of it, but, it feels really good. So that's another option that you have available to you. Okay. So I hope this all helps. And again, remember that, please, you know what I mean? Just double down on your sleep. It's a time where we get distracted from ourselves. Oh, I'm too busy. And, I really didn't get into that here. Here's the other thing, that TV, right? That's probably the biggest. TV and computers and screens are the number one sleep stealer. I really should put a whole slide about that, but I'll just mention it now, you know? And so I get it. We get hypnotized. We lose track of time. We get, you know, caught up in stuff. And next thing you know, it's 2 hours later than we intended to go to bed. So, you know, again, DVR stuff, you know, make a commitment to yourself. Plan on it, remind yourself. You can set, there's all kinds of apps now where it'll remind you to go to bed earlier. Okay. And, you know, so just remembering to get yourself to bed is a lot harder than it sounds. All right. But that's a big part of the process. But again, I'm telling you, it if you can do it even 2 nights in a row of getting solid sleep and going to bed a little bit earlier than you normally do, it just feels incredible. So I challenge you to do that even this next week, and especially the next few weeks. Okay. All right. Well, Connie, you're getting 8 to 9 hours of sleep regularly. Nice. That works really well. Pat, how you doing, Pat? Shoot me an email. Let me know. You want to meet up. I hope you're having a nice time. I know you're traveling around a lot. Sometimes I get to the edge of sleep and then wake myself up. Right. So by the way, though, when that happens, isn't that the weirdest thing, you know? And that's normal. I don't know what that's all about, but we all had that, right? That's why it's called falling asleep, because you get to that spot and then it literally feels like you're falling. You know what I mean? And sometimes that can startle us awake. But if you tell yourself, now I'm really going to fall asleep. And again, it doesn't always work, but this is really where hypnosis is very effective, because you're always giving yourself suggestions. You know what I mean? Like, that's why I keep referencing the 2 to 3 a.m. thing. When you think tomorrow, how tired you're going to be and how crappy the day is going to be, that's a suggestion. That's a hypnotic suggestion. And so you have control over that. You could just as easily think about, you know, how you're going to fall right back to sleep and you're going to relax and be calm and rested and refreshed for tomorrow. You know what I mean? Like, you can tell yourself. So when you wake yourself up, I know exactly what you're talking about. And I always tell myself, now I'm really, that was kind of a test run. Now I'm really ready to fall asleep. Now again, you can't just do that, because if you wake yourself up and all of a sudden you wake up and your stomach's tight and you're nervous and you're not breathing, you could tell yourself whatever you want. Your body's biochemically changing to keep you up. So you've got to kind of cycle through the whole thing. Mentally, again, you're telling yourself, okay, now I'm really going to fall asleep. Physically, you're telling yourself, okay, relax, let go. Connect to my breathing. Emotionally, you're just kind of letting go and feeling calm. You're slowing things down. You see what I mean? So again, you're doing all of those things at once to kind of bring yourself to sleep, encourage yourself. Pat says, I really do need to improve my sleep. Most of the time I never get enough and I find it hard to keep on a regular sleep schedule. Yeah. And you know, here's the thing too, right? Is what makes that really hard. And I'll tell you, so this happened to me. I've been teaching sleeping, you know, for 15 years. And when my son was born, I say this because it shocks me that I was so tired for those first couple of years. He was not a good sleeper, you know? And so I just never got a solid night of sleep. And I was so tired. I ended up putting almost, you know, 15, 20 pounds on. I was exhausted. I felt like crap. I remember because I turned 40 right around that time. And I was like, oh my God. I'm like, I was like, this is getting older. I felt like crap. And so anyways, like I said, I at some point I was like, okay, I got to take care of my sleep. And all of a sudden I was like, oh, I'll go to bed earlier. And I look back and I said, Jim, what have you been doing? 2 years, could have been going to bed earlier. You know what I mean? But again, partly my excuse was, and I guess it was partly a reason too, but I was telling myself, oh, you know, I'm always up with this kid and whatever, so I need a little bit of just time alone, you know, and so I'll be watching TV. And so that I consider that a big mistake, but I didn't think of it as a mistake in the time, because understand this, when you're sleep deprived, you're not thinking at your highest level. You're missing obvious things. You're just not thinking right. You got a sleep deprived brain and you're thinking as a sleep deprived person, which is a limited person. You're a limited version of yourself, like just 100%. It's a fact. And so you miss the obvious stuff. And so I look back on it, I'm like, oh my goodness, I could have gone through that 2 years a lot better. And if I could go back in time, I absolutely would have gone to bed earlier. And yeah, I would have missed some TV shows and I wouldn't have had it alone, whatever, but I would have had more energy. I would have felt better, you know, on and on. So anyways, yeah, Pat, I get it. I get what you're saying. And really what it comes down to is, again, you know, we'll say, just for example, say you usually go to bed at midnight. It just comes down to, okay, I'm just gonna go to bed earlier. I don't care about this TV show. I don't need this. This isn't quality time. And I think that's the big secret. I got to be honest. TV's fun. Like, I love watching TV as much as anyone, but it comes at a cost. And that's a cost that we never think about. And the cost is that it's affecting, we went through the benefits of good sleep, right? And the flip side of that is the cost of bad sleep. And so the TV very rarely is worth that cost, especially over time. Now, again, for me personally, like, I've got Sunday through Wednesday night, I'm in bed early. You know, I'm getting a lot of sleep. Friday, I stay up a little bit later, and then, or Thursday, I stay up a little bit later, and then Friday and Saturday, I stay up, you know, later, because I can sleep later. So again, I'm not losing any sleep though. But so, you know, you really got to question that, Pat. You got to question, is this extra hour of watching TV, is it really worth it? And you have to look at the cost of it, because it's costing you, I promise you. It's making harder to eat well. It's increasing your crappy cravings. It's fuzzing up your thinking. You're more tired. You know, and that's the true cost. And so we put that up against an hour of whatever show we're watching. You know what I mean? That's a real apples to apples comparison there. And that's going to help you make a better decision, I think. But it's one of the epidemic of our time, where we're an overtired culture. And a lot of it is because of our screens. So is there such a thing as a comfortable fold out sofa mattress? Yeah, I don't know. It's funny because they were talking, they were like, well, you know, when we got that, we could have got, I guess they sell like a memory foam mattress. But I had the same question. I was like, well, if it's a memory foam, when you open it up, isn't it just going to be a folded up mattress? So I don't know how exactly that works, but I wish they'd gotten that one. I would rather just lay it on that crooked mattress. That one was no good. Yeah, I know, right? Fold out mattresses, they are what they are. I think next time I'll sleep on the floor. Yeah, Pat says, I love it cool and even sleep with a fan. Yeah, I sleep with a fan too. I like the noise. So I said quiet, right? I should have been more specific. what's the word for it? It's okay. Yeah. Quiet might be great. It's not for me. So I said quiet, right? But what I really, more specifically what I meant is you want it to be like white noise is fine. So it's like sometimes people will sleep with a television and that's something I would not suggest, like a radio on, right? Because what's happening is it's different. It's always changing. Do you know what I mean? As opposed to white noise, which is consistent, you don't want sporadic noises. That literally goes right to your lizard brain and instant adrenaline dump. I mean, you're talking about, you know what I mean, hundreds of thousands of years of evolution for you, you know, at nighttime to hear some weird noise or some unusual noise or sporadic noise, and it triggers you to wake up. So, and it doesn't allow you to go to the depth of sleep. So white noise does not do that, though. You know, Connie says, I struggle when the room gets too warm, right? And that's why. And I never knew that, right? I never knew the body needs to drop a couple degrees for you to fall asleep. So I've done that too. And so it's really great knowing that, right? Because sometimes I never really realized how important the temperature was. And so it's like, if it's a really warm room, you just kind of hover on a very superficial level of sleep, right? And so that's no good. So yeah, make it cooler. Okay. Yeah. So Pat says one of her daughters uses special glasses, blue blocking at night. Yep. And so, by the way, your phone, your computer screens, probably some TVs at this point too, I'd imagine, but a lot of them have filters now. Certainly computers and phones. I know one of them is called Flux. And so what it will do is it'll take out the blue light. You know what I mean? So it's a more orangey screen. And so again, if you're on the computer at night, I would strongly suggest you use that anyways. And then as it gets closer to bed, you know, you definitely want that. Yeah. Okay, Connie, I think you're right. Yeah. The ideal napping time was determined at 23 minutes, right? Now, again, you know, so that's NASA, right? And so anytime like someone's like, oh, okay, this is the perfect thing for the entire planet, you know, come on. You always want to bounce it off of you, right? And so I've done the 23 minutes. It's a little bit long for me. I know it sounds crazy. It's only 8 more minutes, but I sometimes wake up more groggy. So again, everything's unique, but yeah, just play around with it. You want at least like 13 minutes, I think, because you need to kind of get in past that initial stage into something. But I'm telling you, I don't know. I would love to know more about napping. I gotta look that up because it is unbelievable to me how different I can feel after a 14-minute nap. It's just amazing. And, again, I've done 45-minute naps and I wake up feeling more exhausted when I went to sleep. Okay. And so again, what I would suggest though is just play around with it. Start somewhere between 15 and 20 minutes, say, you know what I mean? 13, 20 minutes, somewhere around there. And just play around with it. And notice how you feel. Okay. Jim, do you visualize during your power nap? Okay. I don't really visualize during my power nap necessarily. What I will do though, here's what I do. I pretend that I'm sleeping, if that makes sense. So that's what I was talking about with the breathing. I really, really, again, NLP is the core of what we always are talking about here, hypnosis and NLP. Neurolinguistic programming is all about modeling. And so when I really got into sleeping and kind of, I was like, I got to figure this out. I began to think about, well, like when someone is sleeping, what are they doing? One of the first things I noticed was the breathing. And in order to breathe that way, your body has to be relaxed. And so what I will do is I know what sleeping feels like. Like, you know what I mean? When you brush your teeth, it's like you just know how that whole routine goes. And you do it the same way almost every time. You have one hand that takes the cap off the toothpaste. The other hand squeezes it. You put it on there and you start the same teeth. And so it's like your body just knows how to do it. It's a very unconscious thing. And so the sleeping has become the same thing. So I'll get a little extra detail. I literally, like when I'm power napping, I will literally sit the exact same way every time. I put my phone on my chest. I breathe the exact same way. I feel myself sinking. I just feel myself falling asleep. So it's not, I would go beyond visualizing because visualizing is almost a conscious thing. You know what I mean? Like where you're consciously, okay, let me kind of imagine this. I don't want prefrontal cortex activity going on. So I don't want to be visualizing, like thinking about stuff. I want to let all that go. So I almost feel like I'm, you know, what was a great, I don't know if you guys saw the movie Get Out, which was actually funny enough, is about some hypnosis, kind of a weird horror movie. Anyways, there in that movie, there's a thing called the sunken place. And I thought that was like the best, that to me was the best visual, kind of explanation of how I think of my naps or even falling asleep. And so basically it's this guy, he's getting hypnotized and he's going deeper. And he just feels like he's going down. And then he goes down into the sunken place. And he's like, it's like he can see, like there's a little window and he can kind of see through it. That's where the room is, but he's like way down deep in it. That's kind of what I imagine. I imagine my body just falling asleep. Most of my conscious mental energy is just pretending I'm sleeping, if that makes sense. And so I'm not visualizing during it. Now, if I wake up in the night and I'm doing this stuff in my brain, I can just, again, I'm aware now. I've got kind of levels where I'm at. So I can tell when I'm kind of in that first quadrant of just like, oh, I just woke up for a second, I'm going to fall asleep. Okay. And by the way, for me personally, like last night I went to bed extra early. When I go to bed and give myself, like, I usually get 7 to 8 hours of sleep opportunity a night. Some nights I'll give myself 8 to 9 hours. When I do that, I find that I wake up a couple times throughout the night, but it's still in the kind of the, what I consider the kind of the first quadrant where I can fall right back to sleep. Okay. So I notice that if I wake up kind of that middle quadrant where it's like, I'm okay, my mind's kind of racing a little bit, but I can feel like I'm about to fall asleep. That's when sometimes I will visualize, and I will visualize again, relaxing places, illicit feelings, just fantasize about, you know, whatever. And then I'll usually fall asleep. Then there's sometimes I wake up and it's like, boop, I'm just up and I can feel my brain's up and whatever. Those times now I get up and I'll meditate. I usually meditate for about 25 minutes and then I go back to sleep. And I every time I've just fallen back to sleep. So, I would throw those out there. So, Connie says, yeah, then go, my thoughts made me think of losing my marbles. I love that. Yeah. That's a great way to think of it too. You can literally, you get in bed and you can just imagine each thought's like a marble. You're just losing them, which that's the perfect time to lose them, right? You just can fall right to sleep. That's funny. Yeah, Pat says, I saw them attached to a balloon and I can let it go. That's fine too. You know what I mean? Again, this is, you do what you want. The key thing is whether they go up or down, who cares, right? As long as they just get the hell out of your head, you know, that's all that matters. And so we just want to clear our mind. And so if it feels more natural for you to feel, you know, floating away on a balloon, great. That's great. Whatever works for you. So Jillian says, I have a question for you about meditation. I was listening to a guided meditation and fell asleep. Am I still getting the benefits? No, you know, I don't think you are, because I've seen a lot of tests, not with meditations, but I mean, guided meditations and hypnosis are pretty much the same thing. And so again, now they can use brain scan stuff to find out what's going on. And so when people are sleeping asleep, like legit, the science seems to prove that none of that's mattering. None of that's making a difference. You certainly have physical paralysis when you're asleep. And it seems like you kind of have a mental paralysis as well. Now, don't get me wrong. If during that guided meditation, you know, all of a sudden you heard a bear in the room, you'd probably wake right up because your brain would know that. But it seems like words and concepts and ideas while you're sleeping from the outside world don't seem to have much impact on the inside. Now, as you pass through to sleep, as you pass through that hypnagogic state, definitely. There could be some impact. So it's not a bad thing. And I think to me that 1-2 minutes of effect it can have on you is worth it anyways. Right. So I used to, when I was doing one-on-one hypnosis sessions with people in my office, sometimes people would fall asleep. And so once they were asleep, I would bring them back out. There's no point in me going on. But was it valuable? I think so. Because again, they passed through this state. Right between being awake and being asleep is this hypnagogic state, which your imagination is going wild. You know what I mean? Like that's why when you feel like you're falling asleep, it really feels like you're falling, right? It feels as real as anything. That's because this hypnagogic state, your mental thoughts are very, very vivid. And so that can be a really kind of a fruitful time for suggestions and guided meditations. Again, guided meditations are all different. You're supposed to follow them, but For hypnosis, it's great because really all you need, you know, 1 or 2 suggestions get in there. That's a successful session. But no, once you fall asleep, it's not going to make much difference. However, if it helps you fall asleep, if you have trouble falling asleep and guided meditation to help you get there, then I think that that in and of itself is beneficial. But as far as, you know, once you're asleep and listening to it, then it don't matter, you know? So that'd be my feeling on that. Pat, so I really need to hear this right now. Yeah, you're welcome, Pat. I know I need to hear it. We all need to hear it. Because like I said, we're in our culture, we're constantly really just minimizing, undervaluing sleep in general. And then during the holiday season, it's just talk about a hypnotic suggestion. You know, everyone's, oh God, it's so crazy and so stressful. And I get it. We have more stuff we have to do, but you know, you guys are all here and we have a choice. We can interface with the holidays the way we want to. Yeah, they're a little more stressful. There's a little more stuff to do. There might be some emotional stuff going on. But we still have the ability to influence how we feel and interface with it the way we want to. Okay. And so don't give that up. And so sleep again, right now, here's the thing. We want to focus on prevention instead of the cure. So we don't want to be sleep deprived and then try and deal with all the things we have to do and try and keep ourselves in a good mood and try and get yourself to do this. It's a lot easier. It takes a lot less energy just to get ourselves into that bed earlier. And that's not easy either. I'm not saying it is, but it's easier than trying to go through a whole day when we're wiped out, fighting cravings, trying to eat well, trying to do all the things we got to do and on and on. The sleeping is absolutely, you know, the thing that you can change that'll have the biggest impact literally on your holiday season and then beyond. Okay. Okay. So Connie says bedtime app. I haven't seen that. So, and I think even if I'm not mistaken, I think the iPhone has, even in their health app that comes with the phone, if I'm not mistaken, there's like a bedtime, like kind of function to it. And so it might like remind you, I forget if that was the app or not. I don't really use it, but it'll basically remind you of you say when you want to get to bed, you know, each night, and it'll remind you, you know, and it'll measure it, I guess. And so the bedtime, I haven't seen that, so I'll check that out. But yeah, apps are great too. You know, just as an initial kind of, you know, support to help you implement something. Pastor, sometimes it just feels good to have some extra time at the end of the day, but you're so right. It comes with a big cost. Yeah, that's exactly it, Pat. That's what I mean. And that's what I mean. And it's hypnosis in the sense it's because we're not given, we look at it just from one perspective. And again, that's what I was sharing with you. Cause again, I'm not perfect in any way. And so when I had my son, I know exactly what it felt like. And I feel like this, I'm a late guy. Growing up, I stayed up late. I love staying up late. I was a night owl, all the rest of it. And so it's very easy for me to stay up late watching TV, probably one of my favorite things to do. And then when my son was here, again, what happened is I started reverting back into my old behaviors of staying up late. That was part of it. And then the other big part was, again, the rationalization. We're going to talk about this next week. We're going to talk about self-defeating behaviors. I think you guys are going to like that. But so I started to rationalize it by saying, I have no time during the day to myself, and this is my time. And I bought into it and I believed it. Again, having the benefit of hindsight, I wish I didn't, because it cost me more. I don't remember any show I watched. I mean, you know, it's kind of like we talk about addictive behaviors, and TV and screens are absolutely an addictive behavior. Eating at night is addictive behavior. We've got the anticipation, the consumption, and the consequence. And one of the things we can do is we can move into the consumption phase and be mindful and pay attention to, is this really that great? You know, is eating this food really that pleasurable? Is watching this show that great? And a lot of times we've kind of made it out to be something better than it actually is. Okay. But so yeah, when you really compare the enjoyment of watching a show to waking up completely, totally refreshed after a solid night of sleep with the proper amount of time, you know, that's a different way to look at it. Then you might make a different decision. Yeah, that memory foam sofa, so stupid. I do love power naps, but sometimes just resting and reading helps me to feel better. Yeah, great. You know, Pat, you get to a point. That's why I say I got to study this nap thing. I can't explain it. It's like a reset button, and it's like the napping does it. And you're right. Like sometimes I'll just read and it makes me feel similar as well. Okay. And so it doesn't necessarily have to be napping. To me, that's a much more kind of profound shift. But yeah, you're right. Even resting and reading. Great. And that's what I want to encourage you guys to do. You know, I'm just sharing you some specifics that work for me and I've seen work for some of my clients, but it's like, yeah, okay. The next 4 weeks for a lot of people are kind of crazy. So look for opportunities to nap, to go to bed earlier, to rest and read, to go for a walk, to take a bath, whatever it is for you that's resting and relaxing and rejuvenating, you know, and calms you down. Okay. Whatever those things are, just do more of them. Right. Yeah, great. So all right, everyone. So good. I'm glad, you guys were all here for this. Make the sleep a priority, a focus, get to bed, get some rest, and we'll talk next Tuesday. Good night, everyone. Have a great week.